He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to a brand new week of the market, and we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last Friday, unfortunately. We'll get to more details here in a bit. If you're short oil and short China, you're having a good day. The Dow right now is down 394 points after a 981-point drop on Friday. And it would seem that the we thought COVID was behind us. Well, apparently it is in the U.S. for now. But China is the problem, and we'll be talking about another city that may be looking at a lockdown. And, of course, that's hurting the markets. It's hurting commodities. But we are nearing some technical support here. And while the Dow is down 371 points, the S&P 500 right now is down 50. It has very good support at 4,200. We'll see if it holds that. We're right about there now. We're at 4,220. So I see the market as being very oversold here right now. The NASDAQ down 80. It's also nearing some very, very firm support, 12,760. The Russell 2K, another risk-on item there, is down 16 today, 0.9%. Crude oil down 505. So even oil, which has held up the markets, commodity stocks, they're now under pressure because of these lockdowns taking place in China. Gold also under pressure. It's down $34 to $18.99. Silver down 55 cents to $23.71. The good news is interest rates are down, all the way down to 2.78%. And the risk asset called Bitcoin, it's down 819, clear back down to 38,774. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management, and, of course, Barry Keit, our chartered financial analyst. And, Barry, I thought COVID was behind us. What in the world is happening now?
Yeah, well, I mean, with and you touched on it. I think you hit on it great in your note this morning. The when you're looking at, 50-something million people, at least just in two cities. Of course, with Beijing now kind of on the target in terms of being under lockdown. I thought they were kind of locked down during the Olympics. I guess they're going back to that. But, it's just I guess it's peeling the Band-Aid off slowly, right? I don't really know how else to describe it. It's, scared of their shadow.
The strategy seems strange.
It's a form of control, which I get, right? In that particular, part of the world, in terms of, in their form of government, right? It does allow them to unleash a level of control, right, over their population. It seems a very, it's very anti-growth, which is very odd for them, right? I mean, well, they've been very pro-growth, at least economically.
Yeah, and you take an economy like China off of the out of the market here for a while. Who knows how long it will be. Now, one thing we do know is it's temporary, okay? It's not going to last forever, but it's definitely having an impact. Nowhere does that show up more than the commodity prices, because they're not using any oil. What, 300 million people right now are locked down in China? So that's a new macro factor that has entered into the market, but it's a temporary macro factor. That threat of 75 basis points that was floated last week, that certainly was a big part of that 981-point sell-off on Friday. Now for the good news is I dug very deep into the earnings so far of the S&P 500, And that's looking very good. So, you know what I've always said, when all else fails, when everything in the world looks wrong, come back to the earnings of the S&P 500, and they look pretty good. So I'm just going to make a general prediction here that I think the market's very, very oversold right now. I think the earnings are there to support it, and I think that the technical support that we're looking at right now should hold up. So, hey, from my mouth to God's ears, we'll see what takes place. I said there would be a few more days of selling possibly this week, especially today, and so far that's true. But at some point we're going to hit – the market doesn't go down every day. At some point we're going to hit some good support, technical support, and the market's gotten a lot cheaper along the way. We're down around 18 times forward earnings right now. When we started the year at 23 times forward earnings. So anyways.
And this week's going to tell us a lot. We can, maybe in the next segment, we can go through, some of the earnings that are going to come out this week. And then also some of the economic.
175 companies will report this week.
Yeah.
From
and then
the S&P.
Yep. And some big economic news coming out this week in terms of, data dump from a lot of the economic side of things. So I think it's a pretty, kind of a, I don't want to say, this week is going to make the quarter, but yeah, from a market standpoint, I do think there's we're going to have a lot more information by the end of the week than
yes.
we have, us talking right this minute, put it that
yes.
way.
Yes, and figure out, take a look and see during the break, when is that Fed meeting?
First week of May.
That's what I think, too.
I want to say it's the Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, but I'll make sure.
Okay, China was down 6%. It's getting clobbered. I mean, look where we were when COVID hit back in 2020. But at that point in time, it was an unknown factor. Nobody knew how serious COVID would be. Nobody knew how long it would last. And this situation in China, we know a heck of a lot more about COVID than we did back then. And in addition to this, this is like the weakened Omicron, which is not nearly as deadly. So you just have to look at this as a temporary situation. It came and went through America very, very quickly. We dealt with it differently. We all seemed to get vaccinated by Omicron. And now China's going through it, and they're going a totally different route. They're locking people in their homes. And so a lot of commodities are not being used. They're in the fourth week in China, and now it almost seems like they're going to do some rolling closures because now they're starting to close down Beijing. So, I'm looking at Yang today, which is inverse China three times. It's up 7.6% today. I said in my newsletter on Friday, I think the best inverse fund opportunities look like China and the emerging markets right now. FXP is up 4.7% today. That's inverse China two times. And then inverse the emerging markets, which China plays a big role in, three times. That's EDZ. It's up 4% today. Unfortunately, it's bringing down the oil stocks. They're probably the biggest casualty because, they react almost immediately to any kind of global slowdown, temporary or permanent, and that's why you're seeing a sell-off in the oil stocks today. Who would have ever thought that some of these oil inverse ETFs would be doing so well today? But you're seeing DUG up 7.3%. That's inverse oil, I think, two times. And DRIP is up 6.5%. I think oil prices will recover, and I'll tell you why in a little bit when we get a little further into the show. Okay, so there's the China lockdown for you. That's having a massive impact. That's probably the biggest factor in the market today. And, of course, that's causing this sell-off in oil. Iron ore futures plunge on escalating China lockdown fears. And we saw some terrific earnings last week from Nucor. And from Cleveland Cliffs, but they came right at the time that China's locking down. And so that's impacting Rio, it's impacting BHP, it's impacting Vail, all these iron ore stocks, Nucor, Commercial Metals, Cleveland Cliffs. Once again, Barry, I think that's a temporary situation. they're not going to be locked down. I mean, you can only lock down people for so long. And look what happened when our lockdowns ended. The demand came soaring back and drove oil prices to giddy highs, steel prices to giddy highs. I see that happening again. If you can just kind of grit your teeth, grab onto your armchair, and wait for COVID to run its course in China. Bitcoin tumbles to a six-week low. Anything risk on under pressure right now? Europe's struggling a little bit. Macron won. I think France needs to find someone new to run against Macron if they ever want to beat him. Le Pen has had two chances at it and hasn't been able to get the job done. Okay, and there's a big update on Twitter today when we come back. And an upgrade on oil prices, believe it or not. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show, and Barry, you alluded to the fact, and it's exactly right, this week is going to be very important as it relates to earnings. Now, right now, as of now, 20%, about 100 of the S&P 500 companies have reported earnings, but by the end of the week, after 274 more reporter, 175, 55% of the earnings will be in. So this is a very big week of earnings. However, you know, I look at those first, once 20% is in, that's a pretty good sampling. And you can kind of extrapolate those numbers out to the other 80%. 79% of the companies have beat their earnings estimates. 69% have beat their revenue estimates. So I really don't see any problem there. That's about average, maybe just a little bit above average. And the earnings estimates, the growth went up. When we started this quarter, the expectations were for 4.5% growth year over year. And after 20% of the companies reporting, we're now at 6.6%. So companies are not only beating their estimates, but I'm also noticing that they're guiding higher for the most part. And in fact, I saw earnings estimates for the full year, this year, 2022, go up. And I also have seen the earnings forecast for next year, 2023, go up. The revenue growth for this quarter is expected to be 11.1% year over year. That is really, really good. And in addition to this, the S&P 500 forward earnings, the PE, forward PE goes down to around 18. So the market has become a lot cheaper than when we started the year. Obviously, we were at 23 times forward earnings. The earnings season is going very well so far. And the expectations, which is what I'm really watching at this point in time, are improving. So that's all good, okay? And right now we have a temporary setback here in the markets with China. Hopefully that runs its course very swiftly, and hopefully China doesn't have something else on its mind there. And the earnings estimates for this year are currently now almost at $230 per share. That would be a 10.9% increase versus last year. So all things being equal, the market should be up about 10% this year based on earnings. But the market's really looking ahead now to 2023. So we're expecting about $220, $230 this year. Next year's up to $250, Barry. $250. We're expecting record earnings this year, record earnings next year. Now, obviously, they're updated every single week. Every time a company reports earnings, that's another brick in the wall, right? And it all factors in, and it all kind of funnels into that aggregate earnings estimate. What I've seen no problem on the earnings side of the equation. Barry, it's the multiple. And
right,
go ahead and talk about the multiple. Exactly.
Right. And as we've talked about in the past, in terms of when you're creating, you know, what should the, you know, normal market PE ratio be, right? When you're, you know, there's a formula there, and the most important part of the formula, we don't need to know the whole formula, but interest rates are in the denominator, in the divisor. And so as interest rates go up, that's going to tell, you know, that tells you, all else being equal, that your PE ratio should go down. And so, you know, your average forward PE ratio, what we would use to project going forward should decrease. And so, from that standpoint, as interest rates go up, multiples should come down. And we were at, you know, essentially, and you've been talking about it for a year or two now, but,
we were at a bloated
highs.
Number.
Yeah. And part of that, right, was because where else were you going to go to get growth, right? You know, bonds, you know, interest, you know, not a lot of interest rates in terms of, you know, paying very small interest on bonds. So, you know, it was either cash or, you know, getting pushed into equities. And a lot of folks, of course, were getting, you know, pushed into equities because they needed some growth. And that was, you know, part of that is a reason why you had ballooning PE ratios as well. So it's, I think, been a good bit of repricing, especially when you're talking, you know, now 18, you know, historically what we've been around,
that's
that 16-ish to 18-ish range, right?
Yeah, so in my opinion, I think we've corrected too far too fast. I don't think the multiples should have got squeezed that much.
And economically, right, the GDP, I mean, GDP for 2022 is still projected to be, you know, higher than pre-COVID levels, right? So actually higher than 2019. So, you know, we still haven't, even though we're, you know, predicting that maybe the Fed could, right, cause a recession by raising rates quickly. We still haven't seen it yet in the numbers, and that's why we've got a good bit of economic information coming out this week, and then of course the Fed statement. They do meet next Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay.
The statement will come out at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, and then we'll have the fun, you know, press conference from Jerome Powell on at 2:30 p.m. Wednesday Eastern Time. So set your DVR and buckle up.
Yeah, and that big sell-off on Thursday and Friday was when the 75 basis point news started circulating around. Today I see that one of the Fed governors, Cleveland Fed's Mester, says the Fed, this is Loretta Mester, doesn't need any 75 basis point hikes. Okay, now she's just one on there, but that would be good news if they were to at their meeting next week say, right now we don't, that's what I'd want to hear. We don't need to go 75 basis points. We should be okay for now. And who knows, maybe this China thing is a blessing in disguise because it's going to cool off inflation a little bit.
Right.
Here. So, all
and
right.
Friday. And don't forget, this Friday we get the PCE price index number, which is, it's an inflation figure, and it's actually the one inflation figure that the Fed pays the most attention to.
Right, that's the biggest one.
Yeah, so they'll get that on Friday right before they meet on Tuesday and Wednesday. So there's a lot of moving parts at the moment this week, I think.
Okay, now, as it relates to oil, okay, right now Brent crude is at $101. West Texas is at about 95, 96. Brent always runs a little higher, but Morgan Stanley is lifting their oil price forecast as Russian and Iranian outlooks deteriorate. So they're lifting, and this is pretty bullish for oil. I think oil's just being hurt right now by this China lockdown. They lifted their price target for Brent crude for this year from 120 to 130. So they see like 30% upside in oil by Q3 of this year. By Q4, they see it falling back a little bit. But they think the Iran deal will fall through, which I do too. And, of course, nothing, no chance that the Russia's coming back on the market there. So I remain bullish. We'll be back. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, look at that. I'm going to go through some technical analysis from Friday that I put out in the newsletter over the weekend. The NASDAQ has now gone positive. It's up by 68 points. The Dow is down 198. Oil stocks still under heavy pressure. And the S&P is now only down 19 points. Okay, so from Friday, S&P 500, here's what I said. Yeah, and this is one of the three rails that we watch in the market. Valuation, critical. We just talked a little bit about valuation and PE multiples, etc. Number two, momentum, which also ties in with sentiment. The momentum's been, the sentiment's been very lousy here recently. And number three, then, is technical analysis, which I believe plays a very important role in the markets. As of Friday, of course, that was after the big down day on Friday, the S&P 500 is still in a number four down trend, but I said support is at 4,150 to 4,200. I wrote we're almost there. And I also wrote that I think we're in very oversold territory. That was my message on Friday. And I think, you know, after a few more days here of selling, we're going to start getting some bounces to the upside. Well, the S&P came down to 4,200 pretty much this morning. And now it is bouncing off of that level. I'm not the only one out there that pays attention to technical support levels. The rest of all the big money managers do. Okay, now let's take a look at the Dow. The Dow, as of Friday, it was down almost 1,000 points on Friday. I said the Dow has very important long term support at around 32,250 to 32,750. It came down very, very close to that this morning, and now it seems to be holding because it's holding because the valuation. So that's how they're tied together. If we were extremely pricey and the market was way too expensive, I wouldn't have as much faith in these technical levels. And thirdly, the NASDAQ, I said it has very important support at 12,600. Let's see where the NASDAQ got down to this morning, because now it's bouncing hard and has actually gone positive on the day. The NASDAQ got down this morning to 12,700. So, you know, it's not exactly the number of the support levels, but when you're saying that the support's at 12,600, it gets down to 12,700. That's close. That within 3 or 4%, and there you go. You get a big bounce off of that support level. So, anyways, the technical levels are holding so far. Now, I want to go next here. Let me get my notes back up here. I want to go next to the this week. Now this week, Barry, now we had a big disaster last week. We had Netflix, and that influenced a lot of the internet and the streamers and the FANG stocks. This week we're going to get a good look at a lot of the leading tech stocks, the Microsofts of the world, the AMDs of the world, the chip makers will be reporting this week. Apple will be reporting this week. So if you're going to get an even further lift on an already good earnings season, I would look for good earnings reports coming out from the big tech stocks. Netflix has always been a crapshoot. You know, it's all up to subscriptions.
It's always been based off of subscribers, really. But, yeah, this week what we got Apple, Microsoft, Meta, or a.k.a. Facebook, Alphabet, or a.k.a. Google, Amazon. And we also got some other interesting names. And we've got UPS on Tuesday, had Coke this morning, which, you know, it seems like they were able to pass through you know, a good bit of their cost onto consumers. They also gave an update on Russia, for example. I think it's only going to end up impacting them, you know, basically about 1%. I think it was around, this year is only about 4 cents they expected in terms of earnings. So not a huge hit for them pulling out of Russia in early March. We've got Visa, Chipotle, which is always a good commodity, you know, gives us some good info in terms of commodities. We even got Boeing and Kraft. So there's a lot of different, different names beyond just some of the tech names. And then at the end of the week, we get, some of our new favorite, at least from an oil standpoint, right? We got Exxon, Chevron, Phillips 66, right? I don't know how long it's been since I said that name, but they'll be giving earnings on Friday, so it's a big week.
Yeah, we'll be watching. Started off with the banks. The banks have been a very, very weak sector so far this year. They should be helped by rising interest rates, but I haven't really seen that come to fruition. It did earlier this year. And with the big spike in interest rates the last couple of weeks, it hardly moved the bank stocks at all. So there seems to be something else going on there at the banks. And the financials that are sitting on a lot of cash and make money off their reserves. The biggest sector that I've seen reacting to higher interest rates has been the insurance sector, the most boring sector in the market. But, you know, they sit on a lot of reserves, and as interest rates go higher, those short-term reserves, they make a lot of money off of interest income. Their interest income goes up. So that seems to be the play on rising interest rates, and also the inverse bond funds have done really well so far this year. And up until this China lockdown, the commodity stocks were roaring, and now they're taking a little break here until we figure out, how long China is going to be off out of the economy for now, I suppose, for the most part. And that's having a big impact here on the commodity stocks. And in particular, this is one of the worst days for the oil stocks I've seen so far this year. But, you know, the market is so short-sighted. Look, yes, during the original round of COVID, isn't that when oil prices went negative there for a while? Because the whole world basically shut down. And then as we came out of COVID, look at the tremendous demand that all of a sudden there was as people were just dying to get out of their house and into the car or on a vacation or onto an airplane or a cruise ship or whatever. That demand just came roaring back. And you've got Russia now, which eventually Europe's going to cut the cord there with Russia. And that's going to really tighten up the oil markets. We looked to Venezuela. That didn't seem to go anywhere. We then looked to Iran. That doesn't seem to be going anywhere. You've seen what they've done recently. Well, okay, they've opened up the federal lands, but that's slow go. So I just see continued upwards pressure on oil going forward and natural gas. That's my opinion on that. And this is like I've said here in the past, every sell-off in the energy markets has been a buying opportunity. That's been the pattern in 2022. And every rally you see in tech, although tech is probably the most oversold index of all. As I looked at the charts on Friday, I looked at the NASDAQ and I said, wow, the NASDAQ is really oversold. And I said, look for a jump in the NASDAQ this week. So anyways, that's where we're at with the markets. Okay, now, when we come back, we're going to take a look at, there's a few inverse funds that look interesting to me. especially with the China lockdown. And there's some areas of tech that really look oversold to me, very washed out. And we'll mention, take a look at a few names. And, of course, the Twitter news today is that it looks like they're going to accept Elon Musk's offer. I wonder if the Twitter board of directors and whatnot is going to start a second one. I don't know. But they seem willing to now sell to, or they're in a rock and a hard place, because they know that if he goes to the shareholders with his his offer, what do you call that, a tender offer, the majority of the shareholders are going to want to take that offer, and then they're going to be in a bad spot. So maybe Twitter sees the handwriting on the wall, but they seem to be nearing an acceptance of Musk takeover bid. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dow down 280 right now. Bitcoin down 512, 39,140. S&P down 33. It's at that support level of 4,200. It could go a little lower still. The actual support level is around 4,150. Oil, crude oil down 525. There's your big casualty today. And the gold stocks also a casualty today. Okay, well, you know what? We're going to get a lot of tech earnings this week. And I was just looking at some of my favorite tech stocks. Well, you have to look at Twitter here. If they're getting close to accepting his offer, what was his offer at? The stock's trading at $50.
$54.20. Yeah, $54.20. Okay. So we're still roughly, you know, just say 10% or a little less than 10% off of that number. But, yeah, you've got to – it's interesting how, you know, Twitter's board wants to sit – is sitting down with them to go through the – you know, they know the numbers for you know, that they're releasing on Thursday morning, you know. So they know if they're going to end up looking like a Netflix right after Thursday's announcement or not. I mean, you've got to think that they've got to be gun shy in terms of what happened to Netflix. So it's pretty interesting that they kind of want to speed up the process to potentially get this deal. I mean, I've been seeing reports that this deal, you know, may be done by the time they release earnings on Thursday morning.
Maybe they know that they're going to have a bomb.
Yeah, I mean, they would know, right? They would be the ones.
It wouldn't go down that much, though, with that offer out there. That should prop it up. But Twitter's been a horrible stock over the years. I'm looking back 6-7 years ago, and it was a $50 stock. It got as low as 13, and it's been as high as 80, but it really has done nothing over the years for the shareholders. I think they'd be all for having a guy who seemingly accomplished the impossible, starting a brand new company in a brand new industry, and becoming the richest guy in the world. Who wouldn't want to invest in a guy like Elon? So okay, there's one that another one that for me, I don't own it currently, but Lam Research, the PE ratios come clear down to 14. And they've been growing their earnings by 23% per year over the last 5 years. So you have a very favorable pay ratio. It pays a dividend of 1.3%. It's headquartered in Fremont. Hey, I saw a little article yesterday, a tract home. It was kind of a quiz. It says, how much do you think this tract home sold for in Fremont, California, which is part of that Silicon Valley? Okay, it was a tract home, Barry, five bedrooms, 3,500 square feet in a tract. The selling price, $3.7 million.
I was going to say, when you said $3.7
million. Yeah. Can you imagine what you can buy here in Charleston for three? And the property tax in California is probably over 1%. Your property taxes would be over $3,000 a month just in property taxes.
And you said 3,500 square feet?
Yes.
Yeah, that's over 1,000 a square foot, basically.
Oh, my gosh. So, anyways, that's LAM Research, LRCX, where the PEs are low and the house prices are astronomical. You know, and I still like these cybersecurity stocks. I'm really surprised. Either we've been really good at repelling the cyber attacks from Russia, or they're not as good as we thought they were. I don't know. But I still like CrowdStrike, and it's one of the leaders in the S&P 500 today. That's one of the tech stocks we still own. It's like I say, you can't not shun completely the tech sector. Yes, it does have the wind in its face of rising interest rates. But there's still a lot of powerhouse stocks there in the tech sector in the NASDAQ. And then the one I mentioned last week on the inverse side, the one that I thought looked the best last week, it's inverse the emerging markets three times. It trades a lot of volume. The symbol is EDZ. And it just seems to me with the emerging markets and all the problems going on there, China's a big factor on the emerging markets. They look really vulnerable. And the chart, VWO, which is the long side of the emerging markets, look at that chart, VWO. That's Vanguard. That's a huge fund. There's $73 billion in that ETF. And, you know, that's part of asset allocation. The asset allocation model says that you should probably have a 10 or 15% exposure to the emerging markets to be well diversified. But we have zero exposure to the emerging markets because China is such a wild card. It's so unpredictable. And it's also impacting the rest of the emerging markets. So we wouldn't have any exposure in the emerging markets right now. And, of course, a lot of people with 401ks usually have emerging market available to them opportunities, mutual funds or ETFs available to them. We would continue to shun. And in those TSPs, you have an international portion. With what's going on in Europe and what's going on around the world and China, I wouldn't have any exposure outside of the U.S. That's just me. Unless there's something really, a standout. We do own a European oil company. But the emerging markets look horrible. And the opposite of that is EUM is one, EEV, and EDZ. Those are all inverse the emerging markets, and then you can pick on an individual country like China, but it's so dang unpredictable. I think you're better off. That's a hot pepper there, a Szechuan pepper that probably better off not touching. All right, well, we've improved a little bit. I think there's still a little more selling until we kind of wash out all of these weak knees out of the market. And I think that the earnings picture continues to look pretty good to me, and we're going to see a lot more. We're going to have 147 companies report this week, 175. So we'll get a lot better picture by the end of the week. But generally speaking, when you get 20% of the earnings in the books, that pretty much sets the pattern for the other 80% of earnings season. And so far, so good, and the market's gotten cheaper. A real mixed bag today. This is Bill Gunderson, Barry Kite. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. Get the newsletter, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.